Okay. Last class we talked about the theoretical aspects of Trumot u'Masrot. What I want to do today is get down to practicalities of how, here in Eretz Yisrael, where these laws apply, how can we make sure that the fruits and the vegetables that we eat are mutar to eat. So we're going to talk today about Trumot u'Masrot on the practical level. And we're also going to talk about another halacha that we didn't talk about last week, called Orla, and its parallel, which is Neta Revai. So let's start with Trumot u'Masrot. Let's just quickly review, if you have the sheets from last week, let's just quickly review what we spoke about last week, and then let's talk about how we do this. I don't have any more copies now. I can make more afterwards. So let's talk about how, let's again, for a minute, okay, I told you I have a lemon tree, right, which I'm very proud of. So when we harvest our lemons, which we did a few weeks ago, we harvested a whole bucket full of lemons. And if I was living, or Bezrat Hashem b'meirah b'yameinu, next year when I will be living, my next crop of lemons will Bezrat Hashem be in a time of Beit HaMikdash, when everything's the way it's supposed to be. So, if you recall, let's just run through quickly, and you have the chart, what would be the hafrashot I would need to do. The first thing I would need to do, let's say I have 102 lemons. So, I didn't get that many. Our first crop of lemons was 4 lemons the first year. The first year that we were allowed to eat from the tree, which we'll talk about what that means. The year of Neta Revai, we had 4 lemons. That was last year. This year we got about 15, maybe even 20. So, maybe next year I'll have 102. Okay? So, and there'll be a Beit HaMikdash. So, I'm going to have 102 lemons of the exact same size, of course, because otherwise this wouldn't work out. And the lemons are all green, by the way. I was waiting for them to turn yellow, and they didn't turn yellow. But they're not limes, because last year they turned yellow, so I don't understand that.
Are they just not ripe yet?
We waited and waited and waited. And they tasted fine, so I don't know. Anyway, so 102 lemons. They're tevel, right? We pick them off the tree, I take them in the house, they become tevel. That means they're asr to eat, until I take off the hafrashot. First, I have to take truma gedolah. Truma Gedolah is 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. So I'm going to take 1/50th, I'm going to take 2 lemons. I'm going to say, Hare Ze Truma. And those 2 lemons are removed, the status of Tevel is removed from them, and they are transformed from Tevel into Truma. Until now they were prohibited to be eaten by anyone. Now they're Truma. That means, first of all, they don't belong to me anymore. They now belong to Kohanim. I get to choose which Kohen gets it, but they belong to Kohanim in general. I'll give it to my friend Rabbi Katz, of course, because he's a Kohen. I give it to him, and he is now allowed to eat. They're not Tevel anymore. He's allowed to eat them b'tahara. He can eat them himself. He can feed them to his wife, to his children. He can even feed them to his animals. Okay, but they have to. But it has to be eaten b'tahara. And now I have 100 that are still Tevel. I then take Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon are 10 lemons, because there's 100 left. Those 10 lemons have to go to a Levi. I'm a Levi myself. I can keep them, but I'll give them to another Levi. So, I'll give them to another Levi, and he has 10 lemons. Those 10 lemons are still Tevel, because he has to take Trumat Maaser from them. Maaser Mina Maaser. So he has to take one of the 10, and say Harizet Truma, and give it to the Kohen. So let's say he gives that to Rabbi Katz. Rabbi Katz now has 3 lemons, which are holy. They are Truma. And the 9 lemons that the Levi has are chulin. They are now permissible to be eaten. The other 90 are still tevel. By the way, it is possible, if I need to, instead of me giving the 10 lemons to the Levi and saying, here, this is maaser rishon, and the Levi then taking the maaser mina maaser, I could do that myself. I could take the 10 lemons, say, this is maaser rishon. From the 10, I could take one and say, this is trumat maaser. I could give the 9 to the Levi and say, look, I already took the Trumat Maaser for you. In theory, it's the Levi has to be done.
Can you just keep them?
Well, because I'm a Levi, you mean? Yeah, so I could, but I'm just saying. Okay. Now there's 90 lemons which are Tevel. I have to take now the second Maaser, which is going to be 9 lemons, because it's a tenth of what's left. Those 9, the second Maaser, is either going to be Maaser Sheni, which is the second Maaser, in which case those 9 lemons are going to be kadosh, and I can either take them to Yerushalayim and eat them in Yerushalayim b'tahara, or I can transfer the kedusha onto money, either by selling them for fair market value, and then the pidyon, the kedusha goes from them to the money, or I can just take money myself, in which case I have to add a chomesh. I have to take the value of 9 lemons, add 25%, which is a chomesh, and transfer the kedusha from the lemons to the money. And then I take the money to Yerushalayim, and I can buy food. It doesn't have to be lemons. I can buy food in Yerushalayim with that. And then the 81 lemons that are left are chulin. That's what's supposed to happen.
Doesn't that only happen during the first, second, fourth?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Karim. Okay, that's if it's a Maser Sheni year. If it's a Maser Ani year, then the second Maser, the 9 lemons, are not holy. They're not Maser Sheni. They're Chulin. They're unholy. Chulin means that anybody can eat them. There is no Kedusha. There's no requirement that they be Tahor. It's just a financial thing that it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Aniyim, and I have to go. It's basically Tztaka. I have to go and find a poor person and give a poor person the 9 lemons.
Okay. That's it. It's not in
Yerushalayim. That's it. No. It depends on the year. The first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, the second Maaser taken, the 9 lemons are going to be Maaser Sheni. Then they're holy. You have to either take them to Yerushalayim or transfer the Kedusha to money and take the money to Yerushalayim. In the third year, in the sixth year, it's not Maaser Sheni, it's Maaser Ani. Maaser Ani is not holy, does not have to go to Yerushalayim, does not have to be eaten B'tahara, you just have to give it to a poor person. Depends on the year. And we saw that the Gemara learns that from the Pesukim that we saw last week. Okay. Now, unfortunately, Bizman Hazeh, we can't do those things. First of all, we have no Tahara Bizman Hazeh. Nobody can become Tahar. So it's possible actually to keep the food Tahar, possibly. I won't get into how. But it's not possible to have a person become Tahar. And therefore, there is nobody today that is allowed to eat Truma. There's nobody today that's allowed to eat.
Mikvah
removes only certain Tuma, but not Tumat Meit. So you can, if you have Tumat Nida, if you have Tumat Balkeri, if you have Tumat Zav, you can go to the Mikvah, but you're still going to be Tumat with Tumat Meit. You need a Parah Aduma for that.
So what about Kohen does accidentally end up in the same building as a dead person? He can't become clean from that ever?
Right. All people today, Kohanim and otherwise, are all Tameh. A Kohen is still not allowed to, because there's an Issa for Kohen to be Mosifala Tumah. He's not allowed to, even though he's already Tameh, he's not allowed to
be
correct. But nobody today can become Tahar completely until we have him Parah Aduma again. Now, that's the first problem. The second problem, we said, is that we don't know who the Kohanim and Levim really are. So, even people who believe that they're Kohanim and believe that they're Levim don't know for sure that they really are. And there's been many, many generations of Galut and confusion. And we don't really know. So first of all, even if a Kohen would become Tahar, it's not clear that he'd be allowed to eat the Truma because maybe he's not really a Kohen. For a Levi, that's not a problem because Maaser Rishon is not Kadosh. And therefore, you're allowed to give the Maaser Rishon to a Levi. And some people even do so as a Chumra or as a Midat Chasidut. I told you I have a neighbor who likes to bring me his Maaser. However, you're not obligated to give Maaser Rishon to a Levi nowadays because of what we said, Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, until the Levi can prove he's a Levi, you don't have to give it to him. So you have to define it as Maaser Rishon, but you don't have to actually do anything with it. Yes?
So these measurements that are in weight, so if you have...
Not in weight, by volume.
By volume?
It's volume, it's not weight. Okay. Now, okay, so let's go, here's what I want to do. Let's first go through each of the, so basically the only matana that can actually be given to the way, to the person that the Torah defined it, required to give it to, nowadays, is Maaser Ani. We can't give Truma to the Kohen. Maaser Rishon we can give to the Levi, we don't have to. Maaser Sheni, we can't eat it, not even in Yerushalayim. Maaser Ani, unfortunately, they're still poor people. We can give them Maaser Ani, but they're also, we can and we should give Maaser Ani, but modern economic realities are such that to give actual agricultural produce to a poor person is not necessarily in the poor person's interest or in the farmer's interest, or in the consumer's interest, and there are better ways in which you can fulfill the halacha of Maaser Ani, which are both more convenient for everybody and more helpful to the poor person, and I will explain that too. Okay? So let me do the following. Let's first go through each of these matanot and explain what we do nowadays, and then we'll put it all together, and I give you a nusach, and I'll show you how it all works. Truma. Truma, there's two types of truma, remember? There's truma gedola.
This is the chart.
That's the chart. Yeah, we're still on this chart over here, number two. Mm-hmm. All right, you can look at number three also, right? Ma'usim bizmanazeh, correct. It's on chart number three, correct? So, truma, both truma gedola and trumat ma'aser, can't be given to the Kohen, but it has to be defined, and it's kadosh, which means we're not going to be able to do anything, it's going to have to be destroyed. We're going to have to just let it rot, and there's nothing we can do about that.
Sorry, what is it?
However, truma gedola and trumat ma'aser. Right? I wrote on the chart, ma'usim zorkim derech kavod, we throw it away in a manner that's respectful. That's what we do with it. However, in order to minimize the loss, because no kohen is going to be allowed to eat it, so we have two leniencies that poskim say. I should have also, there's one point, one general point that I neglected to mention last week. One general point that I neglected to mention last week is that bizman hazeh, all of these laws are midrabanan. Even things that are in theory min haTorah are midrabanan, because Shmot and Masrot only apply when we have the entire Jewish people in Eretz Israel. When some of us are in exile, which unfortunately is still the case, even though Baruch Hashem, we've been experiencing Kibbutz Galuyot, we've been experiencing an ingathering of the exiles. Today, over one third of the Jews in the world live in Eretz Israel. And a few years ago, there was a big article in the paper that until recently, Eretz Israel or Israel had the second largest Jewish population in the world after the United States. Today, it has the largest.
Isn't it when most come to Israel, not all?
Okay. That's a whole... The expression is biat kulchem. Does kulchem mean every last person? Does it mean a majority? The point is we're not there yet. Okay? Bezrat Hashem will get there soon, and then we'll have all kinds of problems. And Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem will have those problems. But for now, all these laws are midrabanan, and therefore also modern poskim who have the challenge of implementing these laws in the contemporary reality... the Chazon Ish and others who were very, very involved in this, particularly when we came back here at the end of the 19th century and the early 20th century and we began agricultural settlements, again, a lot of these questions came up. Rav Kook dealt with a lot of these questions. The Chazon Ish dealt with a lot of these questions. Some of them were dealt with earlier as well. And here's the bottom line. Truma has to be separated, both Truma Gedola and Truma Maaser, and it has to be let to just rot. However, there are two leniencies. Number one, Truma Gedola, if you remember, was 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, but that was midrabanan. Min HaTorah, even a mashehu, the tiniest amount, is okay for Truma Gedola. And the reason the rabbis made the law that you have to give 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th is because they wanted to make sure that the Kohanim would get something substantial. But since today it's not going to the Kohanim anyway, and since it's midrabanan, so the psak is that you do not need to do 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th. You need to do just a mashehu. So even if you're, forget my lemons, even if I had 100 lemons, just the tiniest amount. So even, and you'll see in practical terms how we do this. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay? But even if you have an entire orchard, right? Or in Tnuva, they take masa. You know, what they do is they bring all the stuff from all the farms into these huge warehouses in the distributor. And before, you know, you go to the... I'll get to the practicalities of how the Heksherim work before the end of the year. But you go down to the supermarket, right? You go down to Rami Levi or to Mega, whatever it's called over here. They're getting there, and there's a big tuda that says, Trumot to Masa, we're taking. They didn't take it in the store. And they didn't necessarily take it on the farm either. What they did was the distributor gets all the stuff, and a rabbi goes into a warehouse with each shipment, and he takes Trumot to Masrot. So he's got a huge warehouse filled with tons and tons and tons of lemons, and the Truma Gedola is going to be the tiniest...
tiny
mashehu? Something.
A lemon.
Not even a lemon, even less than a lemon. But Trumat Maser is still going to have to be a tenth of a tenth, which means you're going to have to take... again, in a minute, I'll show you how we do this. You're going to have to take 1% of all the produce is going to have to be lost, so to speak. The second leniency, therefore, is that because, again, this is midrabanan, and this is stuff that's not going to actually be used. The second leniency is that poskim allow the use of vegetables or fruits that are not going to be able to go to market. They're a little bit rotten. They're not so good. They're not, you know, they're too small. Stuff that are, and in general, farmers wind up throwing away. Not every fruit that's picked off a tree is suitable to go to market. So they do allow. Normally, you're not supposed to do that. To the Kohen, you're supposed to give the good stuff, but it's not going to the Kohen. So if there are, as long as it's still edible, it can't be not edible. But if it's still edible, then you can define it as the truma and use that for the truma. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little bit more than 1%, 1% which is going to be the truma maaser, and a little bit more which is going to be the maaser rishon. We're going to have to do this in stages, but I'll show you how it's going
to
work.
So like whatever your maaser is, you have to take a tenth off.
You have to first take truma gedola, then you have to take maaser rishon, and from the maaser rishon you have to take maaser min maaser. But there's a way to do it, you'll see. Okay? In the end, we're going to have 1% plus a little more. And that's going to be both the Truma Gedola and the Truma Maser, and that's just going to get wrapped up nicely and put in the garbage. What are we going to do with Maser Rishon? Maser Rishon needs to be defined. If you don't separate Maser Rishon, then everything remains Tevil and it becomes Asur. So we're going to separate out, it's going to be 9%. It's 10%, and then we take the Truma Maaser from it. So we're going to separate out 9% of the products of the produce as Maaser Rishon, but we're not going to actually give it to a Levi until a Levi comes along and proves he's a Levi. And since that isn't happening right now, so basically what we're going to do is we're going to do what in modern terminology we would call a virtual Hafrasha. We're not going to physically separate it out. If I was giving it to a Levi, I'd have to physically, if I had a basket of lemons, I'd have to take out 10 lemons. One of them goes to the Kohen, and the other 9 are going to go to the Levi. But today, I'm going to keep, even if I'm not a Levi, I'm going to keep the 9 lemons too. Because I'm just going to define them as Maaser Rishon, and wait for a Levi to come and prove he's a Levi. I know that's not going to happen, so I'm just going to eat them. So therefore, I'm not going to physically separate them. I'm just going to define them. I'm going to declare them as Maaser Rishon, and then they're just going to be with everything else. That's what I'm going to do with Maaser Rishon. What am I going to do with Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni has to be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten b'tahara. I can't do that. So the Maaser Sheni is going to have to be just let to rot. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to take another 9% of my products and let them rot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to transfer the Kedusha onto money. But again, I'm going to rely on a leniency. In theory, the amount of money that I use for Pidyon Maaser Sheni is supposed to be the full value of the fruit, or vegetables or grains, plus a chomesh. Okay, so when the guy goes into Tanuva's warehouse, and there's, I don't know how many hundreds of, let's say there's 500,000 shekels worth of fruit in the warehouse at that point, right? Let's make it 1,000,000. There's 1,000,000 shekels worth of stuff in the warehouse there. So 900,000 shekels plus 25% of that. You can do the math how much that is. No, 90,000. I'm sorry. Close to 100,000 shekels is the value of what's supposed to be used for Pidyon Maaser Sheni. And then we're supposed to take all that to Yerushalayim and buy food in Yerushalayim, but we're not going to do that. We're going to transfer the Kedusha from 90,000 shekels worth of fruits onto a single pruta. And again, that's a leniency that's coming from a combination of the fact that the Isser nowadays is Midurabanan and the fact that this stuff is going to be wasted anyway. So what we're going to do is we're going to transfer all the Kedusha onto a single coin. And even that, we'll see, it's a little more complex. I'll show you in a minute. And what are we going to do with that coin? We're going to save that coin. Because we're going to hope... No. We're going to save that coin because we hope that very, very soon we'll be able to take that coin to Yerushalayim and buy food that we can eat b'tahara and fulfill the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni. So we're going to save that coin for the time that we're able to do that. Does that mean we have to save that coin all the way until Mashiach comes? I certainly hope so, because I certainly hope Mashiach is coming very soon. But for the last 100 years, there are many, many coins that have not been saved. And here's the reason. There's a mitzvah called Bi'ur Ma'asrot. This mitzvah applies twice every Shemitah. It happens on Pesach after the third year, which means in the fourth year, and after the sixth year, which means in the seventh year. In other words, Pesach of the fourth year and Pesach of the Shemitah year is the mitzvah of Biur Ma'asrot. I don't know how many remember. Those of you who were at the Tishmar before Yom Kippur, I spoke about this at the end. I spoke about the Vidui Maaser. You have to take all the Maaser out of your house, and you have to give it to all the various people, to the Kohen, the Levi, whatever, and then you make the declaration, Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. I quoted Rav Kook about that. So, basically, the din with Maaser Sheni nowadays is that we transfer the Kedusha, no matter how valuable the Maaser Sheni is, we transfer the Kedusha onto money, and then we save the money, and then when if Mashiach will come, Bezrat Hashem, and we'll be able to, we'll become Tahor, we'll take the money, we'll buy food in Yerushalayim, and we'll have it. If we reach the fourth year of Shemitah and the seventh year of Shemitah, any Maaser Sheni money that's around has to then be destroyed. You have to actually destroy the money. So the Gemara says, Yolich Yam HaMelech, dump it in Yam HaMelech where no one will get it. It doesn't have to actually go to Yam HaMelech. You can do other things with it. I actually remember I once had a coin. It was a half shekel coin, and I actually managed to cut it in half with a saw and a pliers.
We transferred it onto a fruit, though.
That's another possibility. You can transfer the Kedusha back onto fruit and then let the fruit rot. Yes, that's another possibility, yes. Okay. So that's what we're going to do with that. Now, this is a little bit more complicated also for the following reason. In theory, if I had my 102 lemons nowadays, and so I have 9 lemons worth, so I need one single pruta. Let's say a 10 agurah coin even is enough, probably more than a pruta or a half shekel. And I'll transfer the Kedusha onto that. And I just have to hold on to that coin until I can either take it to Yerushalayim or until the deadline, and then I have to destroy it. However, there's some additional complications. So you can do that. You could do that yourself. However, there's 2 additional complications. One additional complication is that if you do that, then you better make sure you don't do what I did once. Many, many years ago, I was still in Kollel, actually, here in Eretz Yisrael, and I thought I was going to be smart, so I was poured this Maaser Sheni onto a shekel, and I left the shekel on the top shelf of the bookcase, knowing exactly where it was. I used a pruta of the shekel so I could use it again, whatever. I thought I had all the halachos down pat, and one day, I went to go get the shekel, and it was gone. And I said, what happened to it? And I thought for a few minutes, and then I remembered that a couple of days earlier, there had been a shekel on the floor here. And I picked it up. And I said, what did I do with it? And I thought, and I finally realized that I had used it to buy a Coke, which was a big isser. Because then that Coke got Kedushat Maaser Sheni, and I drank it, not in Yerushalayim and Apatara. So that's bad. So if you're going to do this, you got to be careful not to do that. That's number one. Since then, I have been more careful. That's number one. Number two, I remember I remembered a few days ago, I said, oh, I picked it up, I put it in my pocket. You know, you see money in the floor, you put it in your pocket. And then I said, wait, it's not my pocket anymore. What did I do with those coins? And then I remembered, I bought a Coke for the machine. Must have been that shekel. So that was bad. That's number one. Number two, there's a chumra that the Chazon Ish came up with called Pruta Chamura. It's a very complicated din. But basically, particularly if you have Maaser Sheni that's worth less than a pruta itself, you want to make sure that the coin that you use for Pidyon Maaser Sheni has already been used for Maaser Sheni, and ideally for Maaser Sheni that's Chayiv Midaraisa, which means Daganti Rosh Yitzhar and Vadai. So basically, there are 2 ways to do this. One way is to know what you're doing and to set this up properly. The other way you can do this, you can join one of several organizations that will do this for you. They're usually kolels that have people studying laws of mitzvot tluyot ba'aretz. So it's also a fundraiser for them. You make a small donation, and what they do is they have a box of coins in their office. They know how many people have joined their Maaser Sheni club or whatever you want to call it, Keren Lechivul Maaser Sheni. It's usually called. And they make sure that there's enough coins in there that every day, no matter how many people do this, remember each coin has many prutot in it, right? So they have, a couple of hundred shekels worth of coins, let's say. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of prutot in there. And you make a donation to them, and for the donation, they give you rights to use those coins. You don't have to be, like, I'm a member of an organization, that does this, that's located in Ashkelon. They used to be in Gush Katif. Unfortunately, they're not in Gush Katif anymore, so now they're in Ashkelon. So in an office in Ashkelon somewhere, there's this box of coins. Okay, and I don't have to be there. I can be in Alon Shvut, and I can use the coins that are in Ashkelon. It doesn't matter. But I have the right to use them. So I can declare that all the Maaser Sheni that I have here, the Kedusha should be transferred onto one pruta of the coins that are in that box in Ashkelon. Then they have a guy who every night goes over to that box of coins and takes all the Kedusha that's in the coins and transfers them onto one Kedusha of one pruta of one coin, thus emptying them out again so they can be used tomorrow. They do this every day, and then at the end of the 3 years, they take all the Kedusha, they put it either onto a fruta or onto one coin, and they destroy it properly, and you know, so basically you can have, and they make sure that they're all pruta chamura and that they're following all the right principles, so that's how you're going to do it. But either way, the Maaser Sheni has to be transferred onto money. What about Maaser Ani? Maaser Ani is the only one of these matanot that we can actually give. And we should. And if I have a poor person and I want to go over to that poor person and say, here's 9 lemons, I can do that. And that would be a fulfillment of Maaser Ani. Does a poor person really need 9 lemons? I don't know. And what if it's not 9 lemons? Like what if I harvested 4 lemons off the tree last year and the Maaser Ani was like a quarter of a lemon? So, and go find such a person right now before the lemon spoils, and what's that? And then what's he going to do with a half a lemon? There is a way which is much more convenient to everybody, and which actually fulfills the mitzvah of Maaser Ani in a very, very real way, and also makes economic sense in today's realities. And here's how it's done. You can do this yourself, or you can, again, some of these organizations will do this for you also if you want. At the beginning of a Maaser Ani year, before Rosh Hashanah, I figure out approximately how much Maaser Ani I'm going to have to give over the course of the year. And I'm not a farmer, I don't have a lot of stuff. So let's say it's going to be maximum 100 shekels over the course of the year. So I'm going to give more than that. I'll take 150, 200 shekels. Okay? And I go over to a poor person. Again, I can do this directly, I can do it through an organization that does this. And I give the poor person the money before Rosh Hashanah. I say, here's money, go buy yourself something for Yom Tov. But it's not a gift. It's not tzedakah, it's a loan. I'm lending you 200 shekels, 1,000 shekels, whatever it is, you owe me that money. And here's how you're going to pay me back. You and I are going to make the following deal. We both agree to this. Over the course of the next year, I anticipate that I will, from time to time, have Maaser Ani that I would like to give you. But it's not convenient, neither for me nor for me to have to go find you and give you these little things along the way. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to agree right now that you owe me 200 shekels, or 1,000 shekels, whatever I gave you. And we both agree that every time I have Maaser Sheni, you are letting me, you're going to pay me back in the following one. Let's say I have 5 shekels worth of Maaser Ani tomorrow. We're agreeing now that I'm going to just keep that and deduct it from what you owe me. So I'm going to basically buy it back from you by forgiving a piece of the loan. So if tomorrow I have 5 shekels of Maaser Ani, tomorrow you'll only owe me 195. And over the course of the year, the debt is going to go down that way. And at the end of the year, there'll be some money left. And at that point, I'll be mochel the loan and you'll be able to keep this. So in practical terms, he's getting the money right now, which is what he really needs. But in actuality, I'm really fulfilling the mitzvah of Maaser Ani. The Maaser Ani is actually going to be given to him. But in a way that I don't have to start cutting pieces now. And now the Maaser Ani also doesn't have to be physically. I can define it in a virtual way also. I can just describe that a certain number of the fruits are Maaser Ani, and I'm keeping them based on my deal with that poor person, based on, you know, I'm forgiving a piece of the loan that he owes me in payment for this, I'm buying it back from him, and then I can just leave it with the rest of the fruit. So physically, the only thing I'm going to have to pull out of the pile of fruit is going to be the truma. The Maaser Rishon is going to be defined and then theoretically given to a Levi, but in practical terms, it's going to just be kept. The Maaser Sheni is going to be defined, but its Kedusha is going to be transferred to coins in an office in Ashkelon or something. And the Maaser Ani, if there is going to be defined, but we're going to keep it and we're going to pay back the Ani for it or something like that. Okay? So that's how we're going to do it. Yes, Talia.
So then how does that, the Maaser Sheni one, so how does that work for like
You said you have to like pay to like be part of one of those?
Well, the organizations do it as a fundraiser. So they could, you could, instead of having that box of coins themselves, they set up the box of coins, and they say, the money belongs to them, but they say anybody who joins this Karen will be allowed to use the coins.
So meaning like, how would I take it off of like things that I need to take on?
Okay, we'll get to the practicalities of it in a second. It's exactly what
oh,
I'm going to show
how
you.
You're telling us it's a
okay. Okay, now. Yes?
So, let's say you would own 4% or 4% would own
No, I lent the poor... when I get Maserani, I have to give it to him, right? But I don't want to physically give it to him, and he doesn't want me to physically give it to him. So instead, I'm going to lend him money as a loan. Okay, he's going to get the money up front. He can go out and buy food for Rosh Hashanah. That's a lot more valuable than getting a little piece of fruit here and there, right? And then, whenever I have Maserani over the course of the year, we've both agreed that I'm going to buy it from him by forgiving part of what he owes me. So in practical terms, he's getting the money as tzedakah before Rosh Hashanah. But legally, it starts off as a loan. The loan gets partially forgiven throughout the year, and whatever's left at the end of the year gets forgiven at that point. And every time, therefore, whenever I declare Maser Ani, I keep it, and I'm basically buying it for him, but I don't have to pay him for it then. I pay it for him because I'm just mochel part of his chov. You understand? Okay. So let's talk about practically how I do this. So let's start with my lemon tree. Again, there's a difference between my lemon tree and stuff you buy in the store. My lemon tree, I know for sure that the lemons are tevel. I took them off the tree myself. If I buy something in a store, even if it doesn't have a hashgacha, if it doesn't have a hashgacha, I can't assume that the fruit is okay, but I also can't assume that it's not, because it's very possible that someone did take truma or matzah from this. So we'll get to the stores in a second. Let's start with my lemon tree. Okay? I picked the lemons off the tree, I put them in the basket, I take them in the house. Okay, that was Onat Masrot, that was, Gemar Malacha, Riyat Pnei Abayit. I have Tevel, Vadai Tevel lemons. So look at the Nusach of the Hafrasha, and you'll see what I do. The first thing I do, first of all, let's understand, each min has to be done by itself. Okay, so if I have lemons, that's fine. If I have a salad in front of me that somebody made, and now I realize that the salad might need Hafrasha, I can't just take from the salad. I have to take from, if it's got lettuce and cucumbers and tomatoes, I have to take lettuce and cucumbers and tomatoes, each min separately. Also, all of the stuff has to be from the same year. If you have fruits from last year and fruits from this year, okay, if you have a vegetable garden, and you picked a vegetable on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and another one on Som Gedalia, you can't be mafresh from those two together. Because one's from last year, one's... First of all, one might be Chayv Maaser Sheni, one might be Chayv Maaser Ani. Okay. But besides that, even if they're both Chayv Maaser Sheni, you still can't do them together. Each year has to be done separately. Okay, so each min separately and each year separately. From each thing that I'm going to be mafresh, so again, I'm just having my basket of lemons, I have to physically cut out or take out a little more than 1%. A little more than 1%. And I physically separate, it could be a lemon, it could be a piece of a lemon, a little more than 1% of the total volume.
That's
mashu. That's going to, the 1% plus a mashu.
Why are you saying plus a mashu, though you only have it together?
No, the truma gedola is going to be a mashu. The truma maser is 1%.
Okay.
It's a tenth of a tenth.
Okay.
Okay, so I need a little more than 1%.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'm going to physically separate. And then I'm going to recite the nusach. So look in... This nusach is printed, or something similar to it, is printed in every siddur. So first the bracha. Since it's vadai, since I know for sure that this was tevel, because I just took it off the tree myself, I'm going to make a bracha. If I had suffik tevel, if I wasn't sure whether this was tevel or not, then I would do this without a bracha. But since I am sure, I'm going to say the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kidshanu Tzivanu Tzivanu Lehafrish Trumot U'Maasrot. And then I'm going to recite the very... Here, let's read the whole paragraph and then we'll explain it line by line. I'm going to say the following. Mashahu yoter me'echad mimea min hakol sheyesh kan, harehu truma gedola bitzfono. V'ha'echad mimea shenishar kan, im tishach halakim kamohu bitzad ha'elyon shel ha'perot halalu, harehu ma'aser rishon. Oto ha'echad mimea shasitiv ma'aser rishon, harehu truma ma'aser. O tisha chalakim ka'ele b'tzad ha'tachton shel ha'perot, harei heim ma'aser sheni, v'im heim chayvim b'ma'aser ani, harei heim ma'aser ani. Did you all get that?
So you're just like showing where it is, but not...
I'm not even showing. Let's pretend that this is the lemon that's got a this is the piece that's a little more than 1%. Okay? To be mafresh, you just have to declare it. You don't have to physically separate it, right? So I'm going to say like this. This is a little more than 1%, right? So I start off by saying, Mashehu yoter me'achad mimea menakol sheyeshkan, harei utruma gedola bitzfono. The northern side, and I don't need to know which direction north is, I don't need to take out a compass, it doesn't matter. I said, the side that, here, I'm putting it on the table. There's a little more than 1% there. The amount of that that's above 1% towards the north just became ma'as truma gedola. So this thing now is, a piece of this is truma gedola, the rest of it is tevel. The amount that's tevel is exactly 1% because I just define anything more than 1% as being truma gedola. Okay? So now I have truma gedola in the northern piece of that. Then I go on and I say, v'ha'echad mimea shenishar kan, the 1% that remains in this. Im tisha chalakim kamohu b'tzad ha'elyon shel ha'perot halalu. This 1% that's here, that's left in this piece, together with 9 pieces exactly the same size at the very top of those fruits, is maaser rishon. Now again, I don't have to physically calculate that. I've just defined a certain amount of this is exactly 1% of the fruit. That's exactly what's left here. This at exactly 9% at the top of that pile, together, is the maaser rishon. I've defined these two entities together as maaser rishon. And then the next sentence says, Oto ha'echad mimea she'asiti maaser rishon. This 1% that I made maaser rishon with that, harehu trumat maaser. So what did I just do? I made this, a piece of this is truma gedola, the rest of it is trumat maaser. This is all truma now. Right? This is holy. This gets wrapped up very nicely and put in the garbage. Okay? The other 9% that's there, I don't have to know exactly which it is, because I'm going to keep it anyway, until some levy comes and asks for it. So it doesn't matter. Okay? Then I say, Od tisha chalakim ke'ile, another 9%, b'tzara tachton shel ha'perot, harei hem maser sheni, v'im hem chayvim b'maser ani, harei hem maser ani. If I know exactly what year it is, if I picked it off my own tree, and if there's no suffix, sometimes there's a suffix, which year it is, like fruits on a tree, it may be unclear if they began to grow before Tuvishvat or after. If there's no suffix, if I know for sure it's Chayiv and Maser Sheni or Maser Ani, then I can just say the right one. If I'm not sure, then I'll say, if it needs Maser Sheni, it's Maser Sheni. If it needs Maser Ani, it's Maser Ani.
Wait, in the third year of Shemitah, or the third year of your tree is like Maser Sheni or Maser
Ani? No, the third year of Shemitah, not the third year of the tree.
Yeah, so then would it always be the same?
No, but sometimes it's not clear which year the fruit came from.
Oh.
Trees go by Tubishvat, and it goes by not when you pick the fruit, but by the date that the fruit began to grow. So if I forgot or it wasn't clear which one it is, plus there's certain times, for example, Dafka lemon trees is a machloket, if they go by Tubishvat or they go by Rosh Hashanah, citrus fruits is a machloket, so you could have a suffix even if you know the tree. Okay? But if you know for sure which year it is, then you don't have to, then you can just say the one that it is. Yes?
So what is the truma maaser? You declare 9% from...
I took a little more than 1%, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing I just said is what the amount in this piece that's more than 1%, that amount is truma gedola.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving exactly 1% in there that's still tether. Okay? The second sentence was that 1% plus another 9% at the top of the fruits together is maaser rishon. And then the 1%, which is part of the maaser rishon, becomes trumat maaser. Okay, so now the piece that I put aside has all the truma in it, mm-hmm. and the maaser rishon is just sort of floating there at the top of the pile. And then let's say it's a maaser ani year. I said that the bottom of the pile is maaser ani. I'm not going to physically deal with that either. I'm just going to say that whatever amount of money that is, I'm going to keep that and take it off what the ani owes me. So basically, I cut off this little piece, and now I can eat these lemons. The lemons are all chulin. Some of them are maaser rishon and theoretically belong to a levi, but there is no levi, so I don't have to deal with that. Some of them belong to the ani, but I bought them back from the ani, so we're done. But if it's a maaser sheni here, then I'm not done. Because 9% at the bottom of this pile is maaser sheni, and it's usher to eat, I have to be podeit. So, if it's Vadei Masir Sheni, I go and I recite the next bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidshenu Mitzvotav Tzivanu Lifdot Maaser Sheni. And then I write. And then I say, Maaser Sheni Zeh, this Maaser Sheni, Hu V'chumsho, the Maaser Sheni and the Chomesh, Harehu Mechulal Al Pruta Achat Min HaMadbeya Sheichalti. All of that Maaser Sheni should be Mechulal, it's Kedusha, and the Chomesh of the Kedusha should all be transferred to one Pruta in the money that's sitting in that box in Ashkelon. And then the Kedusha flies over to Ashkelon, and they'll deal with it, and I can eat these fruits. That's how we do it, Bizman Azeh. And the only thing I have to physically worry about at that point is the little piece that I made Shuma. Now, you can definitely do this if you have a tree in your backyard, something like that. You can also do this if you have a Safek. If you wind up, a girl came to me a couple weeks ago, she bought something in a store, she thought it had an hashgacha on the vegetables, she's not sure it did. I said, fine. I don't think she did in the end bring it to me, but I offered, bring it to me and we'll just do this. We'll do it ourselves. We'll take Truma Maaser. In that case, I would have done it without a bracha. Because even though there's no hashgacha, it's very likely, very likely. The store owner has no hashgacha. He probably still got it from a major distributor, and it probably did have Truma Maaser taken, but I can't assume that it did, so I have to do it, but I'm only doing it with Safek, so I'm not going to make a bracha. Because Safek brachot lahakeh. But if I knew for sure, then I would make a bracha. How this is done in supermarkets and restaurants and things like that, before I get to that, let me just briefly discuss one other halacha we have to talk about, and that is Orla. The Torah says, Psukim. Let's read the Psukim. I didn't make a photocopy because it's only a few Psukim, but I'll read them out of this book here. We'll get to Revi in a minute. The Torah says the following. These Psukim are found in Vayikra Yotet, Perik Pasuk Chav Gimel through Chafei. It says the following. V'chitavau el ha'aretz unita'atem kol eitz ma'achal v'araltem orlato et piryo shalosh shanim yelechem arelim lo yeyachel. The first 3 years after you plant a tree are orla, and the fruit is asur. Uvashana harevi'it, and in the fourth year, yihyeh kol piryo kodesh hilulim lashem. The fourth year is kadosh, it's called neta rivai, rivai as in rivi'i, and neta rivai is kadosh. What do you do with neta rivai? Anybody know? You take it to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim B'tahara. It's the same din as Maaser Sheni, and it can also be transferred to money. Okay, some of the nuschaot that I just read this nusach. Some of the nuschaot in some of the sidurim, it says when you put the Maaser Sheni, you say the Maaser Sheni should be transferred onto the money. Some of them also say ve'im heim chayavim be revai or im yesh be zeperot revai harei heim mechulalim also. There's a bracha for pidyon neter revai also. If you know for sure, you make the bracha on that also. So that's the din of orla.
What's it called?
Neta, like netia, nun tet ayin. But there's an additional, yes.
How much did you say it has to be taken off
now? No, it's not taken off. The entire fruit of the tree, all the fruit is asur. It's asur bahana. You're not even allowed to benefit from it.
The fourth year.
For the first 3 years.
Yeah.
The fourth year's fruits are neta rivai.
The fifth year, you're
in theory, you're supposed to take them all to Yerushalayim, but you can also transfer the Kedusha to money, which is what we do nowadays. And then the fifth year of the tree, then you start the regular Truma and Maaser cycle. Orla, even though it says in the Torah, V'chitavo el ha'aretz, unlike most mitzvot hatulir ba'aretz, Orla applies also in Chutz La'aretz. If you plant a fruit tree in Chutz La'aretz, you have to worry about Orla as well. However, there's a big difference, and that's halacha Moshe Misinai, that Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz. Even if a goy owns it, even if a goy plants a tree in Chutz La'aretz, its fruit is Orla, it's also for you to eat that fruit. A goy plants a tree in Chutz La'aretz, the fruit from the first, it's not also for the goy, because he doesn't have to keep the law of Orla, but it's also for you to eat the fruits of that tree for the first 3 years.
How do we know this?
So how do we know? Here in Eretz Yisrael, Orla is a very serious kashrus issue. more serious in a certain sense than Truma to Masra, because you can deal with Truma to Masra. You can't deal with Arla. Like I said, even if you buy fruits and vegetables that don't have a Hashgacha, if you buy fruits and vegetables with Hashgacha, the Mashgiach is responsible somewhere along the line, whether it's the Mashgiach and that is that. You go into a restaurant with a Tudat Kashrut, the Mashgiach probably didn't take the Truma Masra himself. He made sure that the restaurant owner bought the fruits and vegetables from a reliable source that had Hashgacha, that somewhere along the line, probably in the distributor, maybe even on the farm, it was done. If the Mashgiach wasn't sure, if something messed up or whatever, then he would do it again in the restaurant itself. But Orla, you can't do anything about it. If it's Orla, it's Asr. And therefore, that's another reason to buy fruits and vegetables that have Hashgacha to make sure it's Orla.
So why would you say to that girl that
she... I was about to say. However, Orla is only... most fruit trees don't produce marketable fruits in the first 3 years. I can tell you that as a person who owns a fruit tree. And I have much experience in farming, and I will tell you that when we planted our lemon tree, the first couple of years we had like one or two lemons, and they were scrawny and small and whatever. The fourth year, the Netta Revai year, now we already have lemons. So there are charts that you can get here in Eretz Yisrael that will tell you different types of fruits, which fruits you have to worry about in the market that might be Orla, that you have to be more concerned with. If you buy fruits that with Hashgacha, that's the Mashgiach's job. In Chutz La'aretz, though, why don't you have to worry about this? In Chutz La'aretz, you walk into... We said last week, the one thing you know you're allowed to buy in Chutz La'aretz anywhere is fresh fruits and vegetables. So what about Orla? Right? How do you know? You walk into some random fruit stand, how do you know you don't have Orla there? The answer is you don't have to worry about it for the following reason. Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz midoraisa. And by the way, Orla is Doraisa even Bizman Hazeh. But, there's a din that says in Chutz La'aretz, the one difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz when it comes to Orla, is that in Chutz La'aretz, Safek Orla is Mutar. So if you don't know whether the fruit is Orla or not, you're allowed to eat it in Chutz La'aretz. So if you had a tree of your own, okay, if anybody in Chutz La'aretz plants a fruit tree and it actually produces edible fruit in the first couple of years, then you can't eat them. But, or if you happen to know, if your neighbor next door, not Jewish, gives you fruit, you can't eat it if you know that it's Orla. But you don't have to worry about the fact that there might be a small amount of Orla thrown into the fruits and vegetables that are on the market, because the Orla is going to be Suffolk Orla. And that's why in Chutz La'aretz, there's issues with bugs we'll talk about, but other than that, there's no problems. There's issues with bugs in there. Occasionally, or sometimes more than occasionally, there may be fruits and vegetables imported from Eretz Yisrael. But fruits and vegetables that grow in Chutz La'aretz, other than bug infestation questions, there's not really any kashrus problems with them, because there's no truma to masrot there. Orla is there, but again, when it comes to the marketplace, you don't have to worry about Orla because it's because of Suffolk. Yes?
So if you grow tomatoes or cucumbers in your backyard, that's not a problem? Like, no matter which
Orla is only for trees. Orla is only for fruits of trees. Okay. Vegetables and grains have no Orla.
Got it.
Okay? Now, there are certain species that it's a whole machloket as to whether or not they're fruits or vegetables. There are certain things that it's unclear. But basically, anything you say bori priya eitzan. A banana gets a bori priya adama, because a banana is halachically a vegetable. Because the definition of a tree in halacha is that it produces fruits more than 1 year. Right? A banana plant dies after 1 year and then a new plant grows. So there's no Orla for bananas. Yes?
So if, let's say you move into a new house and there's a fruit tree there and you don't know.
If you don't know when the tree was planted, then you'd have to, then it would be Suffolk. It would be Suffolk. Okay, we have to stop. Because I'm giving Shir Chloe, so I have to go.